Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. Hey there, and welcome to episode 187 of the Weddings for Real podcast. I'm Megan Gilligan, and today we're talking about something you might use every single day, but you know you're probably not using it as well as you could be, Canva. Do you know the Canva origin story? Back in 2007, 19-year-old Australian Melanie Perkins was taking a design class and saw that most of the students were struggling with using Photoshop. So she decided to start a company called Fusion Books that would make it simple to design yearbooks using drag-and-drop technology. The success of that original idea led her to create Canva in 2011, and Melanie is now the CEO of one of the few unicorn companies that is actually profitable. Girl power. To hear her journey, go and check out her interview on How I Built This podcast after you listen to this one, of course. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert! It takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings for real. My guest today is Brenda Cadman, who you may remember from episode 128, 5 Tips to Avoid Being a Website Horror Story. Brenda has been a website developer for 20 years, but she recently hung up her coding shoes to focus exclusively on helping business owners with Canva. In fact, Brenda is now one of 26 verified global Canva experts, and an expert is exactly what we need for this conversation, since I feel like most of us still use Canva just as a way to easily make Instagram posts.
And that was its initial beginnings, really, was as a tool to a graphic design tool to create social media content. And that's where all the templates were centered on initially. And I think a lot of folks still think of it just as a platform to create their Instagram graphics or their Facebook posts. But it is so much more than that. It is almost a business communication tool now. You have all this video capabilities in it. You can use it to create any kind of document type that you really need to support your business, whether that is social media graphics or workbooks or onboarding guides or presentations or proposals or whatever it is. If it's a marketing asset with a visual component in it that you need for your business, you can use Canva to create it.
Well, let's find out how we can maximize Canva's potential and save time in the process. To start, I asked Brenda if we really need to upgrade to the paid version or if the free version will work.
I know that we all have 3 gazillion subscriptions right now that we're paying for, but I do think that there's a lot of value that comes with the pro subscription on Canva as opposed to just the free plan. Now, you can do a lot with the free plan, but there are some really key features in it, specifically the brand kit, which we can talk about more, that you're not going to have access to. And I think they're necessary if you really want to be able to create really professional, consistently branded content in Canva. You are going to need to have access to something like the brand kit. It has got to be one of the least expensive expenses that I have in my business. And I think most people will hands down say that they can't imagine creating content in their business without it.
Yeah.
Raising your hand.
Yeah. I'm one of those people. I mean, I think the brand kit, I think some of the pro images that you get access to.
Yeah.
The fonts, I've noticed some fonts that I really like are specifically mm-hmm. for the pro account. Honestly, that's all I know about the differences between the pro and the free version, but those are the ones that I think I find myself loving the most.
Absolutely. And then there's things like the resize feature is only available on pro as well. So if you are wanting to take an Instagram post and be able to quickly version it into something that's going to be sized properly for a Facebook post, the resize feature that comes on the pro account is going to be your best option, because otherwise you're going to be creating stuff far more, not from scratch necessarily, but you're going to have to copy and paste everything over. And this just saves you a lot of time. And we all need more time to work on the things that actually matter in our business. So for the value of what you're getting and the shortcuts that you can get in terms of some of these features, it is really, really worth doing. And it's why I'm such a big advocate for recommending people at least try, you know, Canva offers a 30-day free trial through their website directly. As a verified expert, I have a 45-day link that I'm able to share with people. And I think it's one of those things you need to get in and play with it and try out some of the pro features to really determine if the value is there for you. And you talked about the fonts. That's one of the key things. You are not going to be able to access necessarily your own brand fonts if you aren't on the pro level.
Okay, that's interesting. I want to put your link in the show notes for the 45-day link, 45-day trial. Can you share templates with the free version or only with the pro version?
I have tested this not too long ago, and unless I am having a complete Swiss cheese moment in my brain, I believe yes. It's hard sometimes because I only work in pro, so sometimes I forget about which features because it changes. I think at one point you had to be on pro in order to do that, but I mm-hmm. believe you can do it on the free account now. And the same thing with unlimited folders. That used to be just a pro feature. You could only create two custom folders on a free plan, but they did change that very recently and it should be 100% rolled out now, where even on the free plan, you do have access to create as many custom folders as you need. But there are still some of these key features like the resize, like the brand kit, and then also access to the entire stock library, as you were mentioning, and things like background remover and some of these additional nice bells and whistles as well. They aren't the core reasons that I recommend upgrading, though. They're neat to have, but I think some of the more fundamental components, like being able to set up your brand kit and access those colors and your fonts consistently at your fingertips, as opposed to having to hunt them down each individually or not being able to access the right brand fonts in the first place, which creates content that just looks cluttered and not consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just explained that so well, because I was going to ask you to walk us through what the brand kit is for someone that isn't familiar with it, but it is your fonts, your colors, all of that, like readily available to you.
Your visual brand kit in a larger context is going to be also include your imagery, your image guidelines. If you have a particular look and feel, you're not going to want to deviate from that, because if I have a really light, airy photo style, and then all of a sudden I've introduced an image that is dark and heavy, that feels, it really clashes, not just style-wise, but it just is very confusing because it's not part of the brand look and feel. But the Canva brand kit specifically is your logos, your colors, and your fonts. And that is going to be set up in a way if you create it in Canva, so that if you are in the design editor, just at your fingertips, not just all of the colors, but the very specific colors that you've set. Because if you have a shade of green in your brand kit, you want to be using the exact shade of green every single time, not something that approximates it. And you don't want to be having four different variations of green, because it matters. That mm-hmm. consistency matters. You want to be in a position where if somebody sees your content in their social feed, whichever platform it's on, that they are able to recognize it as belonging to your brand before they even see your name. And if you are mm-hmm. constantly changing up the visual elements that you're using, the colors, the different fonts, it is not going to create that consistency. And you need that consistency if you're going to build some sort of trust and loyalty and brand clarity with your ideal client. It's a cumulative sort of effect. And it feels like maybe it's not that important, but it is. And yeah, it's a very foundational thing to be doing. And it's easy to set up, but sometimes people don't realize the importance of taking that step in the beginning.
Yeah, I love that. What are some other areas where a wedding professional that's listening to this, you have their ears right now? What are some other areas that you're like, hey, I really want you to know this as it relates to Canva?
I want you to know that you have hot mess Canva accounts. You know it and I know it.
I believe I also have a hot mess Canva account.
The majority do. I did poll my audience recently. I have a fairly large Facebook group at this point. I think we're probably close to, it's over 7,600 for sure. I did ask, how organized are you? And gave a few options. And the vast majority fell into either organization, what's organization? Or I've created a few folders, but it still feels kind of hopeless. And I know that most business owners are using it in a way that they just have tons and tons of designs and images. They're kind of haphazard. They're, you know, the physical equivalent is just throwing it all into a bucket or throwing it all on the desk and then having to go find that one piece of paper, that one bill that you're looking for that you know is in that mess somewhere. And you're going to spend a hell of a lot of time trying to find it, that if you had a proper system set up, you would be able to find it like that and move on with your day and actually go do something that's important.
It's like the junk drawer in your house, right? Where you're like, where's that one pin? Or I'm looking for the super glue because my daughter broke off her doll's head for the fourth time.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get that. So it's basically just a collection of a lot of people's Canva accounts. Maybe partially mine, are just a collection of projects that, we do have folders, but it just, I think my brain, it does not stay trained to continue. Like, it's almost like you need a set time each month that you go in and clean up, but maybe you have a better recommendation on how to get that organization down.
Well, first off, I think chances are, if you're not sticking to it, you haven't broken it down in a way that you're able to stick with. Everybody has their own way of looking for information. And what works for me may not work for somebody else in terms of how I intuitively will drill down to find the one presentation that I'm looking for. So I think really start with some sort of system. And if it's not working, you can change it. You don't have to stick with it. You can change something if you find that you'd rather search for projects by document type as opposed to by client, for example. My brain would probably work as a client folder, and then maybe there's couples under listed under each one. And then within couples, there's, you know, the various materials for them. Somebody else might just want to have all of their proposals in one folder at top level. You figure out what works for you in terms of searching for it, but you did hit on something really important there. This is not a one and done situation. The same way that if you have paper constantly coming into your home, it's not like you set up your filing cabinet once and you never have to sit down and grab that little temporary pile and file it away. So even if it's setting up, 30 minutes on a filing Friday, or setting up once a month where you just sit down and catch up on it, something regular on your calendar, it doesn't have to be a lot of time. The first time you create that Canva filing cabinet, it's going to take you some time. And I think that's why a lot of people put it off, because it's not about learning the steps necessarily of what needs to be done. It's more about executing on it and taking the time, because the very first step in the process that I teach is to do a purge. You need, the same way if you were cleaning out a closet, you need to figure out, what are you keeping? What are you getting rid of? What is something that you know you're not using, but for nostalgic purposes, you kind of want to keep it? And we have to figure out how to store that. The great thing and the not so great thing about something like Canva or any sort of digital organization is that it doesn't take up the physical space that we have with our actual homes and offices. And because of that, you have constraints that you have to stay within. So it's nice to have the freedom to not have those constraints, but at the same time, that lends itself to wanting to keep everything. And that just makes it harder to find the things that you actually need. I'm not a proponent of organization for the sake of organization. I think it's incredibly beneficial, but I want you to claw back the time that you could be spending on marketing your business, building your client relationships, the things that are going to bring you not just more financial reward, but more reward for your mind and your soul and the things that you really enjoy doing. We all have better ways to spend our time than searching for that one you know, that one onboarding guide that you know you designed 6 weeks ago and you don't want to start from scratch, but you can't find it. And it would be so easy if you knew where to find it just to duplicate it easily, or if you had a template already set up for it that you could just make a copy of easily. So I'm going on a lot about this, obviously, because it's something I'm so passionate about.
I can tell you're passionate. Yes.
Did I mention I was a professional organizer at one point?
Oh, you know what? That's so interesting. You didn't mention that, but I can see that in the like purging and then, you know, creating a system that you can stick to and then creating that momentum. I wrote this down while you were talking. I love that you said filing Friday, because I felt so inspired by that. Like, take 30 minutes and just update, you know, go in and move things into place. It doesn't have to be a half day project.
And it is something you are going to need to maintain or the system will fall apart. But it is not, once it's an initial system is set up, it is not so hard to maintain. So just think of it more like creating that filing system in your office. And once you have a home for everything, it's just a matter of putting them away. But you need to stay on top of putting it away.
And I'm thinking about this too, because this applies if you're a solopreneur and it's you that is doing the organization and the filing, but it also applies for those that have a team. Like I have a social media person. I have different people that are in my Canva account, and I'm probably the one that causes the most damage, to be honest. They probably have it more organized, but you have to find a way to communicate what that system looks like to the team and make sure that there's someone that is accountable for whether each member is accountable for making sure the things are put that they use away. Just like my children, if you played with it, you need to put it back. Or maybe you have someone that is, they love it. Like they are an organizer and they love to go in and move those things around, but that's something to discuss if you have a team dynamic going on.
And then also making sure that you are all on the same page in terms of how you're naming these designs, because I'm a big fan of consistency, but more importantly, descriptiveness of those titles, because while having a really effective filing system in Canva is going to make it a lot easier to find what you're looking for in a quick fashion, one of the fastest ways is usually to use the search bar at the top of the page to just search for something if you need it at your fingertips. And if you have not named that file in a way that is keyword rich, that is descriptive, so you know that you're pulling open the right one, you could be opening half a dozen or a dozen different designs trying to search for that thing that you're looking for, because you probably have a lot of onboarding guides or proposals or presentations that all look very similar, at least for the first few slides. And until you dig in and find the name of the couple, you may not know if you have the right one. So just knowing that you've named it in a way that includes the couple's name right in the file name itself is going to make it a lot easier for you to locate what you're looking for.
I love that. Okay. So most of our Canva accounts are a hot mess. You've given some great tips for ways to get your Canva account organized and where you're not wasting 20 minutes searching through files from 2017 to find the one that you're looking for. So you're gaining that time back. What else, Brenda?
I just want people to remember that templates are your very best friend. You don't have to be creating things from scratch if you're not finding what you need in Canva. There are a lot of third-party websites out there, and I'm certain there are some that specialize in the wedding industry in terms of creating the kinds of templates that you might want to have. And as long as you have that brand kit set up and you know how that you have all the components that you need, you have all your logo versions, you've got a color palette, you've got a font hierarchy set up that you can choose from, it's usually pretty straightforward to customize a template to fit your own look and feel. So you don't need to worry about what a template looks like in terms of the colors they're using or the particular images they're using. If you have that brand kit set up, going with a template to start is going to give you the structural components of whatever that layout is to easily customize and make your own. And it's going to save you a lot of time again. And I think this is the biggest mistake that I see of overall in terms of how people are using Canva, is they're not using it in an efficient way. They're going in and they know how to use the tool, but they're not approaching it methodically so that they can get in there, get done what needs to get done and get out, because I don't want you spending, it's fun to play in there. It is creative. This is a creative industry, but I don't want you going down the Canva rabbit hole and spending hours upon hours working in there if you could have created what you needed in 15 to 30 minutes and get on to the next thing on your list.
Yes, that's a really good point. I definitely have been down the Canva rabbit hole before because it is fun. It's like, ooh, look at this. I can move this over here. And speaking to templates, yeah, that's something that in the Planner's Vault, each month we release new content and I will release Canva templates that are an editable pricing guide or an editable welcome guide for new clients. And sometimes when I see planners that have used those templates, I do see that it's still like the base level template font and colors, and they haven't utilized the brand kit component to make it their own. It's a
missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you want your marketing assets to all be consistent. I want your website to be reflective visually of what's on your social media content, what all of the guides look like that you're sending out to prospective and existing couples. Everything needs to be using the same colors, the same fonts, the same look and feel, the same image type of imagery. You want that consistency. I don't want to see you treating each of these marketing types as having a silo approach to it, because what's going to happen is it's going to feel really disjointed for your couples if they are attracted to you through your website and then all of a sudden your social content doesn't look like it at all. And then what you're sending to them through email still doesn't look like it. It's a very... It doesn't build the trust because it just feels so disjointed. And it's an opportunity, again, those small cumulative little changes all go to creating a really streamlined, pleasurable sort of client touch point opportunity. And it's what's probably in the long run going to allow you to charge more if you are creating what feels like a very high level, high touch experience.
Mm-hmm. So this, when I hear this, Brenda, gosh, I'm so inspired from everything we've talked about thus far, but it makes me think that this is one of those tasks that when you're in your Canva account, your brain is like, okay, I got to update this proposal to get this out to the client. You're searching through, there's 17 old proposals that you're no longer using that template. It's cluttered, right? It's the junk drawer. And then you've got this deadline. So you're trying to get the content out and you're like, man, this is a mess. I really need to find time to get this organized. Yeah. But then you go about living your life and other things pile on top of your professional to-do list. These tips really speak to me as something that, yeah, if you could block out, I'm a big proponent. I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I'm a big proponent of a workation where you get away from your day to day and you establish some goals, some things that you want to work in your business that have fallen off, or you've been thinking about, you know, updating all of the things in Canva, but you just don't do it. This feels like such a beautiful task to tackle in a blocked out time away from the day to day. Or I know you have a bunch of resources too, which I'll make sure we talk about at the end. But yeah, this is one of those priorities that it seems like something small to tackle when you have time, but there's so much value in doing the work sooner rather than later.
I think it comes down to that quadrant of urgent and important. This isn't urgent, but I think it's one of those things that is important that's really easy to keep pushing off and pushing off. But the reality is that it is sucking away opportunity from you in other aspects of your business. Whereas if you just carved out a bit of time to learn how to, you know, break down your organization and get it done and set up the brand kit and create a suite of templates that are customized already so that you can just easily copy and version them out later. It's not urgent, but I agree. I think carving out that time to tackle some of these things before they become urgent is really important. I used to take, you know, in the before days when I did travel, I used to go to Mexico once a year by myself and I brought my laptop with me and it was a little solo workation and I would sit having a beverage at, you know, under a palapa by the beach and clear this stuff out. And it is remarkable the brainstorming the ideas and the clarity of thought that comes just by being able to clean up your digital space in addition to cleaning up your physical space. So I'm a big proponent of getting to those things. Yeah.
I love it very much. And you mentioned it not being urgent, which is true, but let's say one of your pain points right now in your business is, you know, I'm attracting a very DIY client. Like I can't seem to get to that next level of the clients that I'm attracting through my messaging and my social media. Well, maybe putting the time into getting your brand kit on point, making sure that everything that, as you said already, like what you're putting out on social media, what you're putting out through your website or your emails, if you're using Canva in any of those ways, like that could lead to opening up. It's part of the steps of leading to booking and attracting a more high-end client, if that's one of your goals.
Yep. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Any other tips for wedding pros related to leveling up how they're using Canva as we're wrapping?
And this is where we get into the stuff that doesn't really lend itself to a podcast medium, because there are ways that, you know, tips and tricks, and I hate the word hacks, but Canva hacks in terms of how you're creating content that you can do things a lot faster. Like, for example, if you are creating some sort of checklist in Canva, you don't need to be dragging all the checkboxes and lining them up manually. If you select all of them and go to position and choose tidy up, boom, 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 it's all evenly spaced and perfectly lined up. So these little tiny things that I like to teach, it's not something I can walk you through in this sort of medium, but I think it's good to be aware that there are to sometimes stop if something's taking a long time and ask yourself, is there a better way to do this? And maybe get yourself into a Facebook community where we share things like this to, you know, get inspiration from how other business owners are using it as well, and see if there are places where you can claw back some of that time that you might be needlessly spending.
I love it. I would love to have you back inside the Planner's Vault too, for some of that demoing of what you're talking about that translates.
Chat about that. Yes.
Let's do it. Okay, Brenda, one thing I had a question for you about is you mentioned using videos in Canva. I'm not using that at all. How do you use videos in Canva?
So I think that Canva's video options have come a long way. I do think it still has some limitations that make it maybe not my first choice in terms of how I would create video content. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm creating tutorial videos and lesson videos in my courses and things like that, I'm still using a tool like I'm still creating the slides in Canva and downloading them, but I am using a tool like ScreenFlow instead to pull it together. Others may use Camtasia or whatever it might be, but you are able to create some basic videos. If you're creating short videos, if you are creating, you know, even just animated kinds of social content, you do have the options now to create things like transitions between slides, and you can create some pretty powerful looking content. I saw a YouTube video from an influencer, I don't remember his name, some time ago, where he was basically using Canva's own video tool to create a commercial. And it's remarkable how professional it ends up looking. So I think the main thing is to make sure that when you are starting a design is to specifically start with a video design in Canva, because that's going to give you the access to the video transitions that you won't be able to get from a standard type of design template inside of Canva.
I love that. So Brenda, someone listening to this podcast, hopefully, I imagine they're feeling as inspired as I am. Literally, while you were talking about organizing, I was writing down like three or different categories that I'm going to go into my Canva and see if that's how I organized it back in the beginning, or if there's room to grow and change how we've evolved as a business. But someone is listening to this and they're feeling inspired. You've given great tips. If they're looking for, you mentioned you have a community, so this is a free community where you're sharing helpful tips and content related to what we talked about here today, right?
So I do share videos in there. I haven't been as consistent lately, but I'm getting back on board sharing, you know, these quick tip videos. My specialty is not in creating 30-minute tutorials on how to do something. I think there's a real need for these 1 to 3 minute tips. I'm going to teach you one thing that's going to make your life easier in some capacity when you're working in Canva. So I tend to focus on those and I will share those periodically. Like for example, the one I shared yesterday is how to save your design as a template, which seems relevant given something we've talked about already here. I've got another one going out tomorrow that is titled "Your Canva Lifetime Account is Fraudulent." So this is, you know, I'm trying to address some of these back end issues that I see that are not so much about the creativity of using the tool, but some of the things we need to know to get the most out of it and what to avoid. So those are the kinds of things that are shared in there. And because it is a large community, it's a great way to get feedback from other people as well, in terms of not feedback on what do you think of this design, but more how do I do XYZ.
I love it.
So yes, that there's that community.
We'll include that link in the show notes. What's the name of the community? I'm in there.
How to use Canva. Literally, if you go to howtousecanva.com, it'll forward you to it.
Amazing. Howtousecanva.com. Perfect. We'll have that there. And then if anyone has questions about this episode, anything you spoke about, or wants to connect with you on social media, where can they do that?
You know, the Facebook group is a great place to go, but if they want to see everything that I have to offer, whether it's freebies or mini courses or larger trainings or one-on-one, brendacadman.com is the best place to go.
And you were talking to me about this earlier, but you have a Clean Up Your Canva course, isn't it?
I do.
Tell me about that.
I am building out a suite of, there's two of them now. I want to offer these kind of mini courses that are always available that you can consume to address a very specific pain point. So there's Canva for beginners, which is if you are starting out and you just need to understand how to use the shapes, how to use the lines, what are the components, the building blocks inside of Canva, and how do you actually use them? There's that. But there's also one called Clean Up My Canva. It is specifically designed to walk you through my 5-step framework to clean up your Canva and turn that hot mess into something that is an organized, intuitive account so you can easily find what you're looking for. And again, you know, doing the lessons, watching the lessons does not take long. It takes you less than 30 minutes to watch all of them. It's carving out the time to do it. And that's what's holding up a lot of people. So I think if you can join me on one of my future filing Fridays, I've started doing that. I'm going to do it once a month. If it goes well, we'll see if I keep doing it, but I'm trying to help provide the accountability and the space on your calendar to feel like, okay, I have this 2 hours dedicated. Let's get this stuff organized so I can actually feel good when I open my Canva account, as opposed to feeling like crap, yes. Seeing the absolute mess. And the courses are $47. So they're not big investments.
I love it. And I will say, you said something that I wanted to highlight before we wrap up here is you mentioned focusing on short, like 1 minute, 3 minute videos.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we need right now. It is the quality over the quantity, and it is bite-sized. I can take action on this instead of I watch a 30-minute training and then I say, well, it would be really great if I could do those things and hopefully I'll do that later. But then you don't actually take action on it.
Well, more is not necessarily better. And yeah. I think we need to get out of that sort of mindset that if I'm going to charge for something, I have to give more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And it's no, actually, if you can deliver value real fast so they can implement and get back to their lives, I think there's a lot of value in that. And I think it's a nice wide open space for me right now. And it fits well with the kind of content that I like to create. So I think take the pressure off yourself if you're feeling like you have to create content as well. It does not have to be something enormous and comprehensive. Just quick bite-sized chunks of value are going to go a long way.
100%. Brenda, thanks so much for coming on the show, sharing your Canva expertise. We'll include a link to the group as well as your social media handles. And I'm definitely going to check out that Clean Up Your Canva course.
Thanks for having me.
That was Brenda Cadman, who you can find at brendacadman.com. And be sure to check out the show notes for Brenda's courses and her 45-day free trial code for using Canva Pro. So, I'd love to hear from you. How are you using Canva right now as a marketing tool? Is it just simply to make Instagram posts, or are you using it to its full capability?
You can post your thoughts inside our Weddings for Real Facebook group or tag me on Instagram. I'm at Weddings for Real. That's all for today. And as always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.